Amen. Praise God. Come on, y'all. Let's put up some more hearts in the comment section, in the chat. They're praising God for what he has done. We praise God for that powerful time of prayer led by Brother George this morning. We give God praise for each of you being with us in this virtual space. We praise God for that. If we were in church today, I would tell you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the Lord has a word for you today. So put it in the comment section. The Lord has a word for you, for me. The Lord has a word for us today. And I know we cannot be in our regular Sunday service, but I thank God for what he is doing. In all things, we are giving him thanks. So I thank the Lord for everything that he is doing. I pray, Pastor Alexis and I, we pray that each of you are doing well. And we do honor God. That's right, Brother Justice and Sister Landy. I see you. We do pray that everyone is doing well on this glorious, glorious Sunday. We do honor God for Pastor Alexis. Yes, I see you all. We honor God for Pastor Alexis today. We honor God for our Rally and Ryan and all of our leaders and just everyone that is in our virtual space today. But we're going to dive on in the word. Hallelujah. But before we do, for the next 2 minutes until 10:08, and my time says 10:06, so until 10:08, I want us to begin to pray together in tongues. You can take your phone off mute. God is about to shift something for us. Watch this. So on the count of three, I want you to take your phones off mute, and I want you to get to pray in tongues. If you don't have the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to just begin to call on Jesus, because the Lord is getting ready to align. So one, two, three.
God, for his will being done.
Hallelujah. In our lives, thank you. Glory to God for your obedience in doing that. Something just shifted for us, and we give God praise. Hallelujah. For the spirit of alignment that is on this call with us tonight, we thank you, Father, for it. So, y'all, we're going to dive on into the word of the Lord. For today, we're going to get out of church exceptionally early. Praise the Lord. But we give God praise that we're able to meet with all of you in this virtual space. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So first things first, y'all, we're still talking about, there you go, Brother George. Come on. How many of y'all feel the shift? Don't just say you feel it just to say you feel, just to say something. But I want those of you who are honest and can say, I feel a shift. I feel a shift. I felt the shift. I felt it. I felt God do it. Glory to God. There has indeed been a shift. Praise God. I see you, Sister Landy. I see you, Brother Justice. Yes, there has been a shift. Something has taken place. I can't pinpoint what that shift was just yet, but the Lord is going to show me. But it was the, I heard Holy Spirit say alignment. There was an alignment. There was an alignment that took place in that moment. In that moment, as we were communicating with heaven. So we thank God for that. Before we get started, I want to remind you all that we are in our Mind Game series, and we pray that each of you, glory to God, and we pray that each of you have been receiving the word of the Lord that has been coming forth, hallelujah. And what we are doing is through this series is we are casting the devil out of our minds. We are casting that devil out of our minds. We're evicting that demon that's been lying dormant. Come on, we're casting these things out in Jesus' name. And so the Lord is allowing us to identify different spirits, allowing us to expose the tactics of the enemy, allowing us to reveal his schemes and his wiles. So we're so grateful for this series on the Mind Game. Wednesday night, we had the privilege and the opportunity to talk about the octopus spirit, okay? But today, and don't forget, we're still taking notes. We're still in that vein of taking notes because you're going to need these notes. But today, we are talking about the law of confinement. Put it in the chat, the law of confinement. We're talking about the law of confinement. I was seeking the Lord concerning what to teach on today. And on yesterday, I was cleaning up or doing something, and I heard Holy Spirit say confinement. I heard Holy Spirit say confinement. And then I heard Holy Spirit say the law. A law has been created. A law of confinement has been created within our minds that hinders us, that restricts us, that limits us. Glory to God. And it ties our hands, our spiritual hands and feet, from being able to move forward and go forward in God. And so today we are going to talk about the law of confinement and how it makes sense that we're dealing with this particular spirit of confinement, or this, the spirit of this law, in this time that we are in. But as Brother George was praying, the Holy Spirit was still downloading a few things in me, and the Holy Spirit showed me this. He told me this. He said, the hurricane didn't come to destroy. It came to shift. I'll say it again. The hurricane, I see Sister Paulette, my front row. I see Sister Anisha. The hurricane did not come to destroy, it came to shift. It came to shift. And what has happened, glory to God, Holy Spirit said that there has not just been just any ordinary shift, but Holy Spirit said that there has been a regional paradigm shift. There's been a regional paradigm shift that has taken place. And the hurricane, it caused us to snatched our minds out of this comfortable place into a place of unnormal, into this place of not usual, into this place of uncomfortable, into this place of unexpected, into this place of surprise. And there's a lot of us that don't like surprises. There's a lot of us that don't like being uncomfortable. There's a lot of us that don't like the unexpected, because we want to know what's going to happen at this time, that time, and this time. We want to know what's getting ready to take place. But Lord, Holy Spirit's like, no, I'm about to send something through this region. This is why our prayer could not turn it necessarily. He said, because I had to send something through this region. Glory to God, in order, glory to God, for my will to be done, in order for revival to really burst forth in this region. And so he sent this Hurricane Helene, glory to God, to shift this region, to shift the paradigm of this region, the way of thinking of this region. And Brother George did an eloquent job of pinpointing and targeting the spirit of tradition that would hinder people from moving forward even after being shaken. Have you ever experienced that or had an experience or an encounter with an individual who had gone through something traumatic, who had gone through that transition, who had gone through that shift from one thing to another, who had gone through that identity crisis, and they were in a time of shaking? They were in a time where all they could do is move forward or move out of that place into a next. But have you ever experienced them taking the paradigm or the mindset that they had in that place over to the other place? They took that same stuff, the same bags, the same everything over to this new place where the Lord is saying, I need you to do away with that past stuff. I need you to get rid of that, because he says, I desire to do a new thing in you. He desires to do a new thing in us. Glory to God. But there are some of us who are still holding on to that past. There are some of us who are still holding on to those other mindsets. There are some of us who are still desiring to be over here, but still operate and function like this. Operate and function like that. And this is where we enter into, and I would even say this before I go there. There's even some who desire to move forward but can't, because it feels like there is something holding them hostage. It feels like there is something holding them hostage, hindering them from moving forward, right? And so this is where we are entering into our time of talking about this law that's at work in our members that is hindering us from doing good. We want to do good. And that law that we are referring to today is the law of confinement. When I am exposed to a new place, when I'm exposed to a new territory, when I'm exposed to bigger and better, but I still choose small, I still choose ordinary, I still choose comfortable, I still choose limited, I still choose restricted, right? Because of the law of confinement, and the law of confinement comes to convince me that it's okay to choose limited, restricted. It's okay to choose expected. It's okay to choose boundary, right? It's okay to choose this comfortable place. And that's what the law of confinement comes to do. But I want to remind Revive Church, and I want to come and shake us a little bit in the spirit and remind you that the hurricane came to shift, not to destroy. He says, I came to take your mindset from one place to another. Mighty God, I came to shift your mind. And because, glory to God, I could, oh man, and because it could not be done any other way, he said, I had to forcefully come in and do it because of the principality that rests in that region, that rests in this region. So he says, I come forcefully to take that thing. Come on, we are taking it by force. He came to take that thing by force. He came to transition our minds by force, because he knew that if he came to you in a small, still voice, that it would not work, or that you would entertain it for a season, but we would fall back. But he says, no, I need to take this thing by force, because I don't have time to waste. So he says, I'm coming in with a wind. I'm coming in with a wind, and I'm coming in with a rain, and I'm going to shift the entire region. Man, I'm going to shift everybody at the same time. The evidence of that shift is we've seen individuals that didn't even talk to one another before have come together. Community has risen up. Different people are going out into the communities doing this and doing that. People that we haven't even heard of. People that we didn't even know existed. Organizations that we didn't even know knew about us have been directed to this region. Why? Because there was a shift. And I have turned my attention to the region, even to the point where the Lord even says that I've even turned the heart of the kings to this region. An area that we never thought would receive this level of attention, it's receiving this level of attention, to the point where President Biden and President Trump was in that office within the same time period. Come on, because he said, I have shifted this region because it's something that I'm getting ready to do in this region. And he said, the only way that I was able to get the focus in on this region is by bringing the hurricane over here. He says, because, oh my goodness. He says, because this is the way that the revival will go. It'll flow from this way upward. It'll flow from this way outward. It's a revival that's going to start in this territory, in this area, and it's going to flow upward. Watch now. Watch now. It's going to flow upward. So I'm telling you, we are in a time now where we cannot be confined. Leave that old mind where it was. Come on. There's a reason why Holy Spirit told me just this past week, stop rushing trying to get back in the church because I'm trying to do something new. I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I said, but the people are ready. I'm ready to get back in there. We need to get back in there. I don't want the people to drift. I don't want the people to start doing this and go back to doing that and go back to depending on that. Holy Spirit says, stop rushing. He said, stop rushing it. He said, allow me to do it in my timing. Allow me to do it in my timing. Allow me to bring you back in my timing. He said, because there's still a work that has to be done. I said, yes, Lord. We'll wait on you. We'll wait on your timing. Glory to God. So we are in the Mind Game series that we're talking about this law of confinement. What is the law of confinement? And y'all, I got my handwritten notes again, so just bear with me just in case I can't read something because I wrote so fast. Glory to God. The law of confinement, what is it? And I don't know if the law of confinement is something that is real, but this is what Holy Spirit gave me. This is the phrase he gave me. But the law of confinement refers to mental strongholds or spiritual restrictions. Mental strongholds or spiritual restrictions. Glory to God. Let me see here. Mental strongholds or spiritual restrictions. That's right, Sister Heather. That believers, okay, so it refers to mental strongholds and spiritual restrictions that believers accept as laws or governing principles in their lives, binding them to limited thinking, outdated practices, and or negative mindsets that prevent them from experiencing the fullness of God. I'm going to read that one more time. The law of confinement refers to the mental strongholds or spiritual restrictions that believers accept as laws or governing principles in their lives, binding them to limited thinking, outdated practices, or negative mindsets that prevent them from experiencing the fullness of God. It's a mind thing. It is a mind thing. It's a mind thing. So the law of confinement is where you accept a particular law or a governing principle. And because you have become subject to the law of confinement, you begin to convince yourself or you convince yourself that I can only go up to here, but I can't cross this line because I'm gonna help some of y'all. Because mom never crossed this line, because grandparents never crossed this line, because my children never crossed this line. So I have made a law in my head that it is illegal for me to cross this line. That is the law of confinement. When I legalize something, glory to God, when I legalize something that can, in other words or in other means, be looked at as false, if that makes sense. So what are some of the characteristics of the law of confinement? You're dealing with, I got four things here. So you're dealing with limited thinking. The law of confinement births limited thinking. What is limited thinking? When we view God's power through a restricted lens. I'll read that one more time. Limited thinking is when we view God's power through a restricted lens. It's almost as if we have placed God's ability, God's anointing in this scope. And if If anything outside of this scope, it's outside of my range. But as long as it's inside of this scope, it's everything it needs to be. This is the only thing I believe God can do for me. This is the only miracles I believe God can work for me. This is the only way I believe God can heal me. This is the only way I believe God can bring me out. You know something? I saw Sister Paulette put tunnel vision there. And you know, tunnel vision can be good in some sense, in some instances, but in some instances it's not. Because when we have that tunnel vision, glory to God, it limits what we see, what we perceive, glory to God, how we think, glory to God, how we cognitively function. It limits all of that because I'm no longer aware of everything that's around me, but only that small thing that's in front of me. So the law of confinement limits my thinking, but not only does it limit my thinking, another characteristic of the law of confinement is the fear of breaking out. Put it in the comment section, the fear of breaking out. That's right, Sister Heather, the fear of breaking out. Glory to God. So the fear of breaking out, what is the fear of breaking out? Fear of breaking out is the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, or the unknown. It keeps us from stepping out on faith, even when God is calling us to a new territory or to new territories. So the fear of breaking out hinders us from entering into our new territory. Numbers 14, verse 2. Verse 2 through 4 says this, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt? Or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land? Like, why are we here? To fall by the sword that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain. So let's override the will of God. Let's override what, glory to God. Let's override, hallelujah, what Moses and Aaron are seeing. And let's raise somebody else up. Let's raise up a captain and let us return into Egypt. Let us return into the place of bondage. And this is what the children of Israel desired to do. Although they had entered into the land of plenty, although they had entered into a place of more than enough, because of the law of confinement, they said, we don't belong here. We don't belong here. We need to turn around and go back to that place of bondage, because it doesn't make sense why I deserve to be in this new place. The fear of breaking out hinders us from walking into new territory. The fear of breaking out hinders us from walking into new territories. But not only do we have limited thinking, not only is there fear of breaking out, but another characteristic of that law of confinement that we deal with in our mind is our reliance on worldly systems. Our reliance on worldly systems, glory to God. So what we do because of this law that limits us, we rely, instead of relying on the Holy Spirit, we fall back on logic. We fall back on societal norms. We fall back on these different things, and it places us in a mental or an emotional prison. Reliance on worldly systems, because we allow our experience to be our God. For some of us, our idol is not chicken. It's not alcohol. It's not gossip. But for some of us, our idol is our experience. because we gain a little bit of knowledge from our experience and we feel like this is the way it should go every single time, not realizing that the little bit of knowledge I have has the ability to confine me if it's not used properly. This is why he gives us wisdom, glory to God, on how to use the knowledge that we have. Hallelujah. And so this is where we are. And this is what is taking place. And this is, like I say, one of the characteristics of the law of confinement, the reliance on worldly systems that place us in a mental or emotional prison. But the thing is, with this mental and this emotional prison, it's a lot of us that have gotten, we done got us a cot, we done got us a comforter set, we done got us a lamp, we done got us some mirror to put in there, we done got some of everything, and we've made a home out of the prison. We've made a home out of the prison, and we've made our demons our friends. I'll say that one more time. We've made a home out of the prison, and we've made our demons our friends. Wow. Because of our reliance on worldly systems, because of our reliance on logic, because of our reliance on this mind, y'all, this is why the scripture says that we must have the mind of Christ. Because if we try and attempt to operate in the supernatural, if we try and attempt to operate in the glory with this mind that we have, it will always be limited, and we will always get to the threshold, but we will never walk through the door, simply because our mind is limited. And my mind will tell me that I am worth being able to make it to the door, but I'm not worth being able to go through the threshold. This is what's taking place. This is why I must take on the Malama Santa Lama Sikya Tora Lamaha, the Lama Sikya Tora Lamaha. This is why I must take on the mind of Christ, because whereas my natural mind, this carnal mind, is limited to my own knowledge. It's limited to my own experience. It's limited to what I've already done. It's limited to what I've already covered in my past. But when I take on the Spirit of God, when I take on the mind of Christ, when I take on the Spirit of glory, I'm able to tap into something supernatural called wisdom. I'm able to tap into this supernatural grace. I'm able to tap into this thing. And the Lord begins to download a knowledge that we never had before called revelation, where he reveals the mystery to us, come on, where he reveals the mystery to his people, to his prophets, to his sons, to his daughters. There you go, Sister Heather, reminding us to cleanse that frontal lobe. Hallelujah. So this is where we must come into the mind of Christ, because as we have all seen, we can't do this thing by ourselves. Because if I attempt to enter in, if I attempt to operate using this natural mind, it'll almost be like I'm serving a limited God. It'll be as though I'm serving a God that can only do 1, 2, 3, and 4, because that's what my mind is limited to, and because that's what I've only seen him do. But the Lord is saying, if you would step out into the glory, if you would take on the mind of Christ, he's saying, I want you to witness the limbs growing back. I want you to witness the cancer coming out. I want you to witness, glory to God, back straightening up. I want you to witness the dead rising again. I want you to witness blind eyes being open. I want you to witness deaf ears coming open. There is more to God's power than healing the headache. There's more to his anointing than healing the headache. There's more to his anointing than providing so we can pay our bills. There is more to his anointing. And you want to know what we do? Because we are so limited in who we, in our thinking, and because we're so limited in what we've always had, we limit what God can do for us based off of our own personal situation or personal circumstance. So because I only have, this is just an example, but because I only have $5 in my bank account, I can only believe God for a $5 miracle. When God is saying, no, I have the $5 there, but I need you to believe me for a $5 million miracle. I need you to believe me for something that is far above what you can imagine. So this is why I need you to be delivered from the law of confinement. Put in the comment section, Lord, Lord, deliver me from the law of confinement. Glory to God. Deliver me from this limited thinking. Deliver me from thinking that the only thing you can do for me is heal my grandma. And the only thing you can do for me is see about these minor needs. But God is saying, I want to touch your whole bloodline. I want to touch everybody. Come on. I want to touch everybody. So Lord, deliver me from limiting you. Deliver me from this law of confinement. Deliver me from my reliance on worldly systems, because this is how it's always been done, and this is how it was done for them, and this is how it was done for them. You want to know another thing? Is not in my notes, but you want to know another characteristic of the law of confinement? It is comparison. Comparison. We compare ourselves to someone else or to something else or to another level, and we say that we don't have what it takes to operate on that level because this person had this before they got there and that person had that before they got there. But we're comparing ourselves to them, not realizing that they have less than we do. But the Lord is saying, if you would snatch yourself out of that comparison, because that's been our problem. We've been too focused on everybody else but us. Come on, we have had a tea table. If you're familiar with education, and you got your name on one side and another person or spirit or thing's name on the other side, and what you're doing is you're writing down everything that you got in common and everything that you compare with, and then you realize that as you're continuing to write, you're realizing that there is something that they lack that you have, and there are some things that you lack that they have. And then we begin to ask the question, but Lord, how, why, or how the world would you bless me with what they have, because they had this before they got it? Comparison confines me. What is comparison? Also manifests by saying this: I'm just going to pray for them to get it because I don't believe I deserve it. I believe they deserve it, but I don't believe I do. So I'm just going to pray that God does it for them, that God makes a way for them, that God sees about them, and I'll be good. Comparison. Another characteristic of the law of confinement: spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness is another characteristic of the law of confinement. The law of confinement limits a believer's vision. The law of confinement limits a believer's vision. It limits a believer's vision of God's ability to break through impossible situations. The law of confinement limits, provokes or brings forth spiritual blindness, which limits our ability to see that God can break through impossible situations for us. Spiritual blindness. In the law of confinement, it's almost as if this, it's like a closing comes over our eyes, our spiritual eyes. And we're not able to see clearly, which explains why a lot of us miss the signs of the times because of a limited mind, because of this law of confinement. because of the mental stronghold and the spiritual restriction that we have accepted as laws. The law of confinement makes the believer vulnerable to mind games, because the enemy, what it'll do, the enemy will manipulate the internal laws that you've accepted and use them to create an illusion of spiritual or mental imprisonment. What you're believing isn't even real. What you're believing isn't even real. It isn't even real. But it's something that the enemy has constructed, has molded, and turned into something that makes you want to believe it. For example, you don't have what it takes to get the car. You don't have what it takes to operate in the prophetic. You don't have what it takes to be able to speak in tongues. The enemy will convince you to make that thing a law in your mind. And one thing about a human is designed to obey the law. Whether it be a civic law, moral law, relational law, we are designed to obey this law. And because the mind is designed to obey the laws that are being enforced, we come subject even to this illusion that the enemy has created, because we've accepted not being good enough as a law. I've accepted my low self-esteem as a law. I've accepted my lack of leadership skills as a law. I've accepted that I'll never be able to lead. I'll never be able to direct. I'll never be able to oversee as a law. I accepted that I'll never be a good wife or never be a good husband as a law. I accepted that I'll never be a good daughter, never be a good son as a law. And because I've accepted it as a law, now that I've accepted that thing as a law, we're going to follow me here. Now my mind comes subject to the law. Not the Spirit of God, but my mind comes subject to the law. And because my mind comes subject to the law, everything I knew shifts to this. It shifts to this. So whereas I did have confidence over here, because I've shifted to believe this law, I no longer have confidence here. Whereas I did have a level of boldness here, because I shifted to this law, I no longer have that boldness here. Because I have come subject to the law rather than to the Spirit of God. I have come subject to this confinement rather than the freedom of God, rather than the glory of God. So we have this spiritual blindness, reliance on worldly systems, the fear of breaking out, and limited thinking, which are the characteristics of the law of confinement. So as we talked about with these mind games and different things and the root spirit of that, which is the octopus spirit, I want to elaborate on the root spirit of confinement. And my time is drawing near. I want to elaborate on the root spirit of confinement. I want you to put in the comment section the spirit of bondage and or the spirit of fear. The spirit of bondage and or the spirit of fear. These spirits, these two things, bondage and fear, come to do two things, limit and restrict. I know I'm speeding through this stuff. But these two spirits come to limit and restrict. Limit and restrict. Romans 8:15. I want to read it out of the NIV. I like the way it read in the NIV here. Romans 8:15 says this. I'll read that verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Verse 15, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, you received does not make you slaves. I'll read that again. The Spirit you received, the Holy Spirit you received, does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption into a place or into a state called sonship. Into a state or into a place called sonship. Yeah. So the spirit of fear, the spirit of bondage, it comes to limit you and it comes to restrict you. Spirit of bondage is rooted in captivity, three things: captivity, oppression, and limitation. Captivity, oppression, and limitation. This, I'll say it one more time. The spirit of bondage is rooted in captivity, oppression, and limitation. What the spirit of bondage does is it desires to trap you. It desires to trap you. It desires to trap you into old habits. It desires to trap you in addictions. It desires to trap you in mindsets. And what it does is it prevents you from walking in freedom. It prevents you from being able to really experience a level of God's freedom that you've been longing for because of the spirit of bondage, because of the captivity, because of the oppression, because of the limitation, the spirit of bondage. The spirit of bondage thrives on keeping believers trapped in failure. Ooh-wee. How does the spirit of bondage keep us trapped in failure? Because every time we move forward, we're always reminded. I'll say that again. The spirit of bondage thrives off keeping us trapped in failure because every time we move forward, we are reminded. We're reminded of something we once did. We're reminded of something we once said. We're reminded of a place we used to live. We're reminded of a way that we used to think. And because we're reminded of this, that spirit of bondage creeps up with his hand and it grabs you and says, oh, I got you again. You won't go further. Nope, because you're being reminded. Remember I told you all Wednesday and then a few Sundays ago that the enemy cannot use your future. So he will always bring stuff from your past to limit your present. That's exactly what he's doing with this spirit of bondage. He wants you to feel as though that you don't have freedom. When the scripture says over in Romans 8, verse 15, that you received the Holy Spirit. And when you received the Holy Spirit, it did not make you a slave. But the enemy wants to convince you that you are still a slave to an old mentality. That you are still a slave on somebody's plantation. That you're still a slave, and the only thing that you can do, oh man, oh God. And the only thing that you can do, oh man. And the only thing that you're limited, I'll say this, and you're limited in your roles and in your actions to one thing. You're limited in your roles and in your actions to one thing. Yeah. Because of that slave mentality, Sister Bridget called me. Because you're limited in, glory to God, you're limited in that one thing because of slavery. But we got the Holy Spirit. And because we have Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we have no trace of that spirit of bondage because we've been liberated. We've been set free. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. Says this, very familiar scripture, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, which lets you know that anytime you experience that spirit of fear, see, there's different types of fear. So you got the spirit of fear, but then you have also a fear which is a holy reverence. The spirit of fear is typically rooted in torment, right? So you got the spirit of fear. And this is the fear that God did not give you. This is the fear the Holy Spirit did not give you. This is the fear. This is the abundance that we're referring to over in, I keep forgetting the scriptures, over in Romans 8. He says he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. The spirit of bondage, glory to God, drives, okay, I've already said that, all right? Fear, now we're talking about the spirit of fear. Fear is another root of confinement because fear paralyzes. Bondage restricts, fear paralyzes. The spirit of bondage restricts, fear paralyzes. Okay? Fear is another root of confinement because it paralyzes, it restricts from moving forward. The spirit of fear strips you of your mobility. You ever been walking or exercising and you hear, and you may be scared of dogs and you hear a dog bark? All of a sudden, when you hear that bark, it triggers the fear, and the fear paralyzes you. It causes you to pause or stop in your momentum. And whereas I was making progress, now my speed has shifted because fear causes me to be aware of my surroundings. Which is why we must walk by faith and not by sight. Because to be honest, my sight scares me right now, okay? Because of what I see, because of how things are lining up, because of how things are adding up. Sight is scaring me, but this is where I must take on the spirit of faith. This is where I must have faith, because when I walk in faith, it closes me out to all of my surroundings. It closes me out to the negative voice. It closes me out to the naysayer. It closes me out to even the old mindset I once had, because my faith is overpowering all the other stuff. Yeah. Put this in the comment section. Fear has a mouth. Holy Spirit told me that. I said, whoa. Fear has a mouth. Fear has a mouth. And what this fear does is fear whispers to you. Fear lies to you about your inadequacy. Fear lies to you about your worthlessness. Come on. Fear has a mouth. And fear only wants to talk when you're about to make a major stride. Oh, God. I'm closing my book. Fear only wants to talk when you're getting ready to make a major stride. Fear ain't been stunning you this whole time. Fear ain't been trying to, fear hadn't been getting on your nerves. I mean, you've just been good. You've been great because you were inside of the box. But as soon as you stepped outside that box, oh, no, you don't want to do that. Remember the last time. Remember this, remember that, remember them. Come on, you remember that. You remember what they said. You remember how it was done. You remember how you felt. You remember this. You remember that. Come on. It comes to remind you of your past, to hinder you or restrict you from getting to your future. Fear has a mouth. Fear has a mouth. So I want you all to be mindful. I'm just bringing you into awareness of the different spirits that are here and that are working in our minds about how saved we are and how long we've been saved. There are no ranks in salvation. Hallelujah. But we're all dealing with this thing. This confinement may try to come and sneak up on us when we least expect it. But I want you to be aware of this law of confinement so that you can bring every thought captive. Bring every imagination captive. And some, and there's another translation that says this, you got to bring every false argument captive. Everything that tries to come against the knowledge of God, you got to bring that thing captive. Every false spirit, every false language that attempts to come and deter you, you got to bring, not today, Satan. Nope. I see you and I hear what you're saying and I hear what you're doing, but you're not going to get me today. Nope. You're not going to get me today. So, Father, we pray for your people now, and we honor you, God, that you are our deliverer. You are our savior. You are our way maker. You are our way in and our way out. And Father, we thank you, God, that by your mighty hand and your consuming fire, you are freeing us even now. You're releasing us from this law of confinement. We are divorcing this law. We are divorcing this law. We are severing our attachment. We are breaking our covenant. We are destroying the umbilical cord. We are destroying the attachment that we had to the law of confinement. And we release now a spirit of freedom. We release a grace for more in the name of Jesus, where we won't be limited to one thing, where we won't be limited to two things, but we will understand and we will be able to grasp onto the fact that we serve an unmeasurable God. And because we serve an unmeasurable God, we are unmeasurable beings because we carry his spirit. So, Father, we honor you and we thank you for that we have the ability to carry your spirit, that we have the ability to carry your anointing, and we praise you for what you're doing. So release us now from this spirit of bondage, from this place of pressure, from this place of resistance and restriction, from this place of limitation and spiritual blindness, from this space where we rely on world systems. Father, we thank you for stripping us of the law of confinement, where we're taking on your grace, we're taking on your spirit, and we're acting out and doing everything that you have called us to do. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, that we will not give in, hallelujah, to the illusion of the enemy that will cause us to accept what is false as law. We thank you, Father, for total freedom, that we won't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. We thank you, Father, that you are revealing to us everything that we need to know. Hallelujah! You're revealing to us everything that we need to know. And we honor you, God, that we will walk in freedom and we will accept this regional shift, this regional paradigm shift. And we thank you for this regional paradigm shift. We thank you for this regional paradigm shift. We thank you for this regional paradigm shift and the angelic assistance that you've released to revive church, to acquire what is ours. We thank you for the release of our property. We thank you for the release of our land. We thank you for the release of everything that is ours in this season with no resistance. But they will meet our demands. They will meet our budget because of the favor. And we honor you for that, God. And we praise you in Jesus' name. We pray. Come on. Everybody say amen. 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 Y'all